Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Gusto. Gusto provides payroll, benefits, and HR for modern small businesses. Get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/creative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am the founder of Accidental Creative. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, and the new book, Herding Tigers, Be the Leader That Creative People Need, which is all about how to create an environment in which creative teams thrive. Here on the show, we talk about you. We talk about your creative process. We talk about how to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy all at the same time in life and in work as you go about the incredibly important work that you do every day and how to stay sane in the midst of the create on demand world. And we're in the midst of a series that's broken up by a few interviews. We have an interview coming up with James Clear in a couple of days. But in the midst of some of these interviews with these brilliant people, I wanted to also do something that I haven't done in a while, something I call the big idea. And I'm just kind of sharing from each of my books, the big idea, the core concepts, and some practical things you can take away to go act on, even if you haven't read the book, which I hope you do. But even if you don't, it's totally fine. I want to give you some practical core concepts that you can apply, some questions you can ask, some things you can do to help you be more effective at what you do every day. And today we're going to talk about the big idea from my book, Die Empty. Now, the book Die Empty sounds way more ominous than it is. It's not. It's actually aspirational. And I'll explain that in just a minute. Before we jump into that, a couple of things. I get to travel and spend a lot of time with companies, organizations. I speak at a lot of conferences every year. And one of the things that I love doing more than anything else is spending time with groups of leaders, helping them understand the nuances of the creative process. And some of the dynamics, the invisible dynamics, they may not be aware are affecting their teams creating. And often this takes the form of what we call the Herding Tigers Workshop. Now, I know it's often difficult for smaller teams to have the resources to bring, you know, somebody like me or others in to help your team. So we created something called the Herding Tigers Workshop, which is an online version of our two-day Herding Tigers Workshop course. If you go to herdingtigersworkshop.com, you can access actually a free sample of the Herding Tigers Workshop video course. It's actually it's condensed to 4 hours because we don't have all of the group discussion and whatnot, but you can watch it with your team. And there are discussion prompts within the workshop to have conversations with your team about some of the things that we talk about. There's also a workbook to help you and others on your team work through some of the core concepts in the Herding Tigers Workshop. So just go to herdingtigersworkshop.com. To check it out and see if it's something you think could help your team. I know we've had great success sharing this material with a number of companies, and so I think it would help your team as well. So check it out, herdingtigersworkshop.com. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Gusto. Gusto provides payroll, benefits, and HR for modern small businesses. So if you have a business, or if you know someone who does, most of us do, you probably know that small business owners wear a lot of hats. And some of those hats are great. It's the stuff we want to do. It's the things we're great at, the reason we started a business to begin with. But some of those things, like filing taxes, running payroll, for example, not so great, unless maybe you're an accountant. I guess then it would be great. But for most of us, not so great. That's where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and expert HR support all in one place. It's so simple, it's so intuitive. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes, so you don't even have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add health benefits and even a 401k for your team. Gusto is super easy to use, surprisingly easy and fast. 98% of customers said that switching to Gusto was easy. And Gusto was built for small businesses from the start. It works with you. Unlimited payrolls, off-cycle payrolls, multiple states, employees and contractors, everything you could need. Gusto keeps everything all in one place and all online. Old school clunky payroll providers weren't built for the way that modern small businesses work, but Gusto is. So let Gusto handle one of your many hats. You have better things to do. Listeners to the Accidental Creative get 3 months free when they run their first payroll. So try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/creative. That's gusto.com/creative. Creative. And we thank Gusto for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, let's talk about the big idea in my book, Die Empty. So about 13 years ago now, I was in a meeting and I actually ended my book, The Accidental Creative, with this story. And then it sort of led right into my second book, Die Empty. I was in a meeting and the person leading the meeting was talking about a really important initiative that our organization was about to try to tackle. And he asked kind of an out of the blue question, I think sensing some of the hesitance and the fear and some of the other things going on in the room about this big initiative. And he said, what do you think is the most valuable land in the world? And we said, well, I don't know. And so a bunch of people start throwing out guesses. Oil fields of the Middle East, wrong. Gold mines of South Africa, because our colleague was from South Africa, wrong. Manhattan, you know. So we start throwing out all these guesses and they're all wrong. And then he, quoting the late Miles Monroe, said something that deeply impacted me. He said, you're all wrong. He said, I believe the most valuable land in the world is the graveyard. Because in the graveyard are buried all of the unwritten novels, all of the unexecuted ideas, all of the unlaunched businesses, all of the things that we carry with us every day. And we think, you know what? I'm going to get around to that tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to do that. Tomorrow is the day I'm going to act on that idea. And we push it and we push it into the future until one day all of those ideas and all of that value is buried with us, dead in the ground, never to be seen by human eyes. That's why it's the most valuable land in the world, because all of that value is buried with all of the people who never acted on their ideas. And that struck me in a really profound way. And I went home that day and I wrote two words on an index card, and I put them on the wall of my office. I put them in my notebook. And those two words were die empty, because I want to know when I reach the end of my life that I'm not taking my best work to the grave. I'm doing everything I can to try to get that work out into the world where it can be of value to other people. And so this story affected me in a really profound way. And I started thinking about what are some of the ways, the reasons that people get stuck, some of the reasons that they don't get their best work out into the world. What are those reasons? And as I examined that, and as I was doing some research and studying the lives of people who actually have accomplished quite a bit, what were some of the forces they had to overcome? And I really distilled them down into seven, what I call seven deadly sins, or seven forces that come against us and prevent us from really fully and freely engaging in our work and getting that work out into the world on a regular basis. And so I want to share with you today those seven deadly sins and a couple of questions you can ask to help you identify whether you're stuck. And again, if you want more about this, I encourage you to check out Die Empty. It's a quick read. A lot of people have said this is their favorite of all of my books and the most impactful of all of my books in their life. Personally, I think it depends on where you are in your journey when you read it, but I encourage you to check it out. So anyway, the seven deadly sins, I organize them in A, B, C, D, E, F, G format, even though the original words were not that, but I figured that would probably be easier to make them to remember. So the first deadly sin is what I called aimlessness. Now, aimlessness doesn't mean you don't know what you're doing, right? Of course, we all know what we're doing. We're professionals. We know the tasks we have to accomplish. We know the objectives, the projects, those kinds of things. Aimlessness is a little bit more subtle than that. Aimlessness means that we lack a through line for our work. We lack a productive passion. We lack something that is cohesively tying our everyday efforts together. And so we're making a lot of progress. We're doing a lot of things, but we don't necessarily understand the bigger picture of what it is we're trying to do. And so in order to counter aimlessness, we have to identify our productive passion. We have to identify what is it that we are really trying to do? What is it that really fuels our engines and fires us up and really gets us going? Is there a bigger pattern in our life that is tying all of the work together that gives it all meaning? And I've done several podcast episodes about productive passion. If you just do a Google search for accidental creative and productive passion, something will probably come up. In the book, I also give some examples of ways that you can begin to identify that and define your battles, right? We have to define the battle lines that we're going to tackle every day. Every time we encounter them, every single time we have to say, you will not cross this line. I will not cross this line. Over my dead body will this happen, right? We have to understand what that is for us. so that we can define our battles, so that our work has meaning. But my challenge to you, my question for you is, do you find yourself doing a lot of work that doesn't really seem to add up to much of anything? You're making progress, but you're not really sure if it's meaningful progress. Many people spend their entire career doing this, and they look back and they realize, I have lived my life and spent my career doing what everybody else would have done in my place instead of what I knew I was supposed to do in those situations. Don't let that be you. So that's my challenge for you, is what are you really trying to do? Do a search for a productive passion, and you'll identify some stuff that can help you begin to identify that. All right, the second deadly sin, the B, is busy boredom. There are a lot of people that I call busily bored. Now, they're very active, they have a lot going on, but they're busily bored because I know that they have stopped asking important questions. We often avoid questions because we don't want the accountability that the answers might yield. So we don't ask the questions, we don't have the idea, because we don't want to be on the hook for executing whatever comes out the other side of that process. Not good. So my challenge to you is twofold. Number one, are you filling your mind with challenging stimuli that are pushing you to explore the world in new ways, pushing you to see things through a different lens, challenging you to begin to try to think more systemically about the problems that you're facing? The next great idea for your project or your business is not going to come from staring harder at the idea, at the problem in front of you. It's going to come from somewhere out there, something you read, you see, you experience, and you say, oh, that applies to this, right? That's where it's going to come from. So I challenge you to consider, where in my life do I have study time? Where am I filling my well? Where am I inspiring myself? Because that's where all of your best dots are going to come from to connect. And the second thing is, are you asking questions that are challenging you? Are you challenging those assumptions that you carry with you? Assumptions about this, then therefore that, or assumptions that I call ghost rules. I wrote about this in Herding Tigers, ghost rules that infiltrate our life and our organizations. These invisible narratives that guide our behavior, like, well, that'll never work around here, or that's the way it's always been done, or so-and-so can't introduce an idea, whatever it is. These are invisible narratives that cause us to settle into busy boredom. So again, we're making a lot of progress, but not really meaningful progress. The third deadly sin is comfort. Comfort is when we settle into a mode of operation because we're getting results, and people around us say, hey, good job, you're getting results. But we know that we're not growing. We know that we're not trying new things, we're not developing new skills. Instead, we've settled into a mode of basically emulating a past form of ourself. We're just riding it out. And everybody around us seems happy, but we know that we're settling. My challenge for you is, are there places in your life where you're settling into your comfort zone because of the most addictive narcotic in the history of humanity, outside affirmation, right? When people start telling you, hey, you're doing great, you're wonderful, we love you, it's easy to just settle into the thing that gets you that ping of satisfaction of other people's approval, but you're not really doing the thing that you should be doing. So my challenge for you is, do you have some place in your life where you are growing, developing new skills, trying new things, taking risks, experimenting, exploring? Is that happening or not? That is my challenge for you. The fourth deadly sin is delusion, which means that we live with invisible narratives that creep into our lives. Like, for example, I had a great conversation with Richard Heitner, who told me that he spent a lot of his life believing he had to be the CEO or the number one person in a company in order to be valuable, because that's what everybody around him said, right? If you're not the CEO, who are you? And he said, I realized that I'm a really great number two, but I'm not necessarily a great number one. And I've tried it, and I've just realized I am much better at bringing alignment, developing systems, helping the number one person accomplish their objectives and their vision than I am at being the person in the spotlight. It takes incredible maturity and self-awareness to recognize that. So my challenge for you is, are you living according to these cultural narratives, these ghost rules, these invisible guidelines when it comes to your career and your life and your perspective and your ambitions and your goals? Or are you truly and freely embracing reality? You have to embrace reality, embrace who you are. You have to know yourself. So that is my challenge for you as it relates to this deadly sin of delusion. The next deadly sin is ego. Ego is when we become inflexible because we don't want to allow disconfirming information into our life. Great leaders and great creative pros change their mind. They do, and they're willing to admit when they've changed their mind because of disconfirming information. But some people become inflexible. They feel like the only way for them to show their strength is to refuse to admit that they were ever wrong to begin with. This is a path to misery and destruction. And it's also a path of insecurity, quite frankly. Your area of insecurity is the place where you have the potential to do the most damage to the people around you. Whatever you're protecting and will protect it at all costs, that is the place where you have the potential to do the most damage. So my challenge to you is I want you to examine places where you might be self-protecting and causing damage in your organization, to people around you, to yourself. One of the ways this plays out is by playing the victim, by withholding contribution because you feel like you're not being treated fairly. Well, that is also a form of ego because you're putting yourself ahead of the productive passion of your organization or your own personal productive passion. So where are you allowing ego to cause you to become inflexible? The next deadly sin is fear. Fear is when the perceived consequences of failure outweigh the perceived benefits of success. So we don't act. We don't take strategic risks. We don't try new things. Instead, we allow fear to keep us paralyzed, standing in the corner, afraid of moving. So I encourage you to consider, are there places where I am afraid to act, even though I'm very perfectly capable of acting? Are there places where I'm afraid to act out of fear? Artificially escalated perceived consequences. What will they say? What will happen if, right? These are the ways that fear often infiltrates our life. And fear, by the way, often comes disguised as wisdom. So we have to be very discerning when we think about fear. Are there narratives that fear is introducing into your mind that are preventing you from engaging fully and freely in the risks and work that you're supposed to be doing? And then finally, the final deadly sin is guardedness. Guardedness is when we become closed off to other people, when we don't have people in our life who will speak truth to us, people who will tell us what they see. This becomes especially dangerous as you gain more and more authority. As you have more responsibility and authority, you need people in your life who are willing to speak truth to you, people who are willing to tell you when you have spinach in your teeth. So do you have a mirror in your life? Do you have somebody who will speak truth to you, somebody who will tell you what they see? Do you have someone in your life who is inspiring you and challenging you to see the world through a new perspective? This is what relationships do. So who are you going to connect with to avoid this deadly sin of guardedness? So those are the big ideas in Die Empty. I end the book with a framework EMPTY to help you plan your day on the back of an index card. I encourage you to check that out as well. I think I did a podcast episode. So if you Google, you know, plan your day on the back of an index card, Accidental Creative, you should find that as well. But I hope you will check out the book Die Empty. It was a book that really cost me a lot to write because it was really deeply personal for me. But it was also a book, I think, that really conveys some of the necessary passion that we have to implement in order to execute, in order to accomplish our objectives and to build a body of work that we can be proud of. So I hope you'll check it out. Hey, would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at Accidental Creative is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.